Amen? In Hosea 10, verse 12, the Bible says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground or the unused areas of the ground within. For it is time to seek the Lord. It's no accident that we've been beginning to once again seek the Lord. The last time we got together and we prayed, we sensed God was at work. And I'm excited what's going to be happening in the next time that we've set aside to wait on the Lord. Amen. So it says once again, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. We're going to be talking quite a bit today about righteousness. You have plowed wickedness, verse 13 of Hosea 10. You have reaped iniquity. Iniquity speaks of inbred sin. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of mighty men. Sometimes we get our eyes upon men. God has ordained pastors and elders and leadership, and we're to walk with them, to submit and grow together. But sometimes we get caught and led away with people that seem to have all the answers when they don't. And none of us really do. But we're trusting the Lord and we're accountable to one another. Amen, amen. Pastor Randy?
Amen.
So, what is the fruit of revival? And I was thinking about our Elder Ron. Not older Ron, but Elder Ron. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe we should just quickly look at that in Galatians. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So often we think of revival and we think about people jumping around, and that's part of it, and maybe rolling around and souls coming in, getting saved, healings happening, and that's all part of it. But what is the fruit at the end of the day? Are we growing in the Lord? Or are we on some kind of hoo-hoo experience? We need to grow and be established in kingdom living. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen? Hunger and thirst. What is it talking about when you talk about hunger? Well, those of us that enjoy a smorg once in a while, we know what it is to go in there, and hopefully we're a little hungry when we go, and then we can maximize and choose carefully. Moving on.
Salad bar.
Salad bar. Okay, we're coming to a very important section here. Our hearts need to be prepared by Holy Spirit for the awesome outpouring of the fire.
Amen, yeah.
The wind of the Holy Spirit, and the rain of the Spirit is coming. It won't be a picnic. No, it won't. As someone said, when we pray for rain, we need to be prepared to deal with mud. We need to be workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to strap on the practical and get in there. Mud, what does mud do? It makes a mess. What do new believers often do? They make a mess. A baby, Well, you got to change them. You know, we don't need to talk about that. You got to nourish them, love them, care for them. Amen? You know, we're talking about fields and in relationship to our own lives. God plows deeply into the hearts of those who wait to be prepared. Have you ever thought that it's not always fun when you have a heart after God and the things that you seem to go through? The breakings, the plowings. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, it's if you have a heart for God, you're going to go through the mill. Why? Why in the world would you have to maybe even suffer a little bit? Because God is in the business of creating and developing character within his people. Pastor Randy, he didn't just arrive to be Pastor Randy. And we're still, amen, we're still going through life, you know. I've been through a few things. Why? Because God is wanting to use us. He's wanting to use you, every one of you, for his glory, for his kingdom's sake. But look forward to the display of his glory and mighty harvest that will result to the praise of his glory. Amen?
Amen.
So at this time, I've asked Pastor Randy if he would read something. And it's a book that I picked up somewhere. I think it'll bless you.
Here's an account of what happened in Maryland one week in 1806. That's when I was just a kid. Here's what was written. I was at a happy camp, a camp meeting, on the 1st of October, the greatest I was ever at. Such a one I have never seen before. Our tents were pitched in form around the stand. Behind the stand were the colored people's tents, three rows of tents facing the stand, all the campground hedged in by a brush fence, two gates for the wagons to come in at, plank seats to seat 3,000 or 4,000, or perhaps 5,000. Our stand was covered with good shingle roof and nicely planed. Before it was another stand for the ministers and the magistrates to sit in. Round the stand, we had a pen post and rail with three gates or gaps and benches inside to bring the mourners in after preaching. We should have designated mourners. Eh? We had three guards, one the outer guard, one the inner guard, and the official guard. The outer guard was to guard the gates and prevent disorder in the extremities of the camp. The inner guard were to stand in the aisles and seat the people and prevent disorder there. The official guard were to bring forward the mourners and admit them into the pen, where active persons were ready to receive them and help them to Jesus. And then we had what we called the runners, composed of lads and boys who whipped away dogs and hogs, etc. We had dogs last week, but no hogs. The order of every day was as follows. At daybreak, the trumpets were blown round the camp for the people to rise, 20 minutes afterward for family prayer at the door of every tent. If fair weather, at sunrise, they blew this at the stand of the public prayer and then breakfast. At 10 o'clock, they blew for preaching, At 2 o'clock, dinner was to be over in every tent. At 3 o'clock, preaching began again and again at night. On the left side of the stand, the preachers had a large tent consisting of two rooms, a dining room and a bedroom. In our dining room, we had a large table for the preachers. The Lord owned our labors, and smiled upon us in a wonderful manner. 579 professed converting grace and 118 sanctification.
Hallelujah.
The glorious flame is spreading. Now I will tell you how we parted. The preachers then went round the campground singing a parting hymn. The people standing in form almost drowned in tears when they got round to the stand. Five or six trumpets were blown at a time from the stand, which made a tremendous roar, and the people invited to come and stand around the stand. Oh, solemn scene. Will I ever see anything more like the day of judgment on this side of eternity? To see the people running, yes, running from every direction to the stand, weeping, shouting, and shouting for joy. Prayer was then made, and every brother fell on the neck of his brother and wept, and the sisters did likewise. Then we parted. Oh, glorious day. They went home singing and shouting.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Wow.
And they were probably Methodists. If they did that in their church today, they would be excommunicated. What happens when the Spirit of God begins to move on a man and a woman and a child? I think we've seen a little bit here today.
Thank you, Lord.
We're not done yet. We're not done yet. You know, there's different kinds of revivals. And I'm just going to mention a few. There's an Arbor revival where people would go, and this is happening in certain countries today, where they'll take sticks and leaves and they'll create a little sanctuary out in the open, and people will come and God will speak by his word.
Thank you, Lord.
One that that I was very familiar with was the 48 revival. I was a part of a church, Glad Tidings, that we saw mighty things, and they took missionaries around the world. Thank God for those days. But then there were Martin Luther coming out of Catholicism, standing, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
He put everything on the line. He was threatened. His very life was threatened. And he stood up. That's where the Lutheran church have come from. Sanctification, holiness, water baptism, healing. I remember watching healing evangelists in the early 1950s, just a little wee squirt, watching Oral Roberts ministering and Catherine Kuhlman.
Wow.
God is at work. Are we seeing all this today? Yeah, there's a stirring happening, just like we experienced. You know, one of the problems with revival visitation is God moves by his Spirit, and then man tries to build a fence around it and create a denomination. That's not what God wants. What it often will do, it'll give opportunity for some guy or lady that wants opportunity to preach. So they'll start a little church. Is that totally wrong? Well, not necessarily. As long as you're in relationship and submitted to and you're growing. Otherwise, there can be a fallout. So God is moving today.
Yes.
We heard the testimony from our dear brother. There is a renewing. But let it renew within you. Let it renew within I. Amen? Because if we just get in, you know, get caught up in a movement, we need to get plugged in to Jesus and the work that he's doing by the Spirit. You know, Father God, his heart is longing and crying out to gather his children. Are we with him? Or are we against him? We're with him. Amen? So we need to sow yourselves, myself, in righteousness. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Sowing requires work. That's why I borrowed Ron's work boots as an illustration. It's hard work. How is the ministry spelt? How do you spell the word ministry? W-O-R-K. Work. It's the work of the ministry. Amen? You know, I remember when I was pastoring, somebody came up to me and they said, well, Pastor Bob, I see you're preaching, but what do you do for work? Not realizing that when you pour out your very life, your heart, I think that's a pretty high and holy calling. Amen? We need to reap in mercy, and this has already been read. Psalms 89, 1 and 2. Do you want to read that again, if you got her there? Show mercy to yourself and others, and it will come back to you. You reap what you sow. So often we forget to be merciful unto ourselves. We've come under the cloud often of condemnation and guilt and you know, what kind of kingdom is that? It's so often the kingdom that man creates. But God is for his people, and he wants to encourage us and not discourage us. Amen? So.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever.
Hallelujah.
Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens.
Mm. You know, it's encouraging when someone preaches and the songs and our dear sister has the same heart, the same mindset. Then you know, Holy Spirit is speaking and doing a work. Amen?
Amen.
We need to break up our fallow ground. And that word fallow means unused. All of us have gifts and callings in our life. God has a purpose and a plan for you to be in this place. And remember, God is in the house.
Amen.
And you're in the house. Roll up your sleeves, brother and sister, and show up for duty.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Come on now.
That's it.
So, for it's time to seek the Lord in Isaiah 40:31. There's no substitute for doing prayer, and it takes time. Breakthrough takes time. Or it can be a suddenly. The day of Pentecost, and suddenly the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and there was fire as on each one of their heads. But in the meantime, don't quit praying. Don't quit showing up for duty. Amen?
Amen.
God has a purpose. God has a plan. So we need to respond. And the Song of Solomon 1 verse 4 has always kind of touched my heart. This is the song of a lover. It says, draw me and I shall run after you. Draw me and I shall run after you. That should be our heart's cry for the Lord to draw, to touch us. Areas that there's hardness in our heart. Submit it and let the Lord just come and minister grace and peace, love to you. Draw me and I shall prepare my heart for you. We need to repent of the sin of willfulness to have revival our way. Is that a funny thing to say? Do you think we'd have revival our way? You know, I mean, the Bible talks about visitation, revival, fire, all kinds of things. Do you think we could manufacture something our way? Well, if you do, it's not going to work.
That's right.
You know, I remember when we were in Sycamus. I won't take the time to go into a lot of why or how we got there. But we were believing, a little church. A lot of new believers, kind of right out of the chute, you might say, right out of the bush. And God moved by His Spirit. And the night that the Lord moved so powerfully, I was out of commission. And that's so often the way the Lord likes it, that we keep our hands off of that which He's doing. I mean, we're laborers together with Him, but as I stood behind the pulpit, I was sick. I had the flu. I was done. And maybe, Dave, you remember that. And I don't even know what I prayed, but there was a suddenly Spirit of God moved. People were running up to the front. And one brother, he was English, very reserved, little critical. Well, he wanted the Holy Ghost. He wanted the Spirit of God, you know, evident speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit would give him utterance. I looked, and I literally saw him thrown up against the wall. And when he got up, he was talking in tongues. Where is he now? Well, him and his wife are out missionaries. They're coming home on furlough in the next couple of weeks. Story after story. But let's get back here to the Word. Try not to keep you too long, but, you know, I just want to give you what the Lord has given me here. So, Philippians 1 verse 11. But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's verse 12. All the trouble, the hassles, the problems that we've experienced, do you think the Lord can use what we've gone through for His glory?
Amen.
He is using it. And as I was preparing, the prophetic was coming so strongly. And some will come back, and some won't. And we don't want them anyway, because if we can't leave contention aside, then that's the way it is. But verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. God wants to give you a new testimony this morning. God wants to give you a new testimony this morning. If anyone would like prayer, I believe that the pool, as expressed in New Testament, there was a pool and people came, and as they got in to the water is flowing here this morning. And I'd love to pray with you. Sister, I believe you desire prayer. Come on up here. So, and Ron, please come, and Pastor, and Dave, would you join us too? Yeah. I love this sister, you know.
I love you too.
Father. Father God, we thank you that you're in the healing business. You are our healer. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you would touch this body, that you would cause your divine strength and healing. In Jesus' name, that there would be wholeness and healing. Lord, that you would continue to raise this precious sister up to fulfill your destiny in her life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I speak healing, healing, touch.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Anyone else desire prayer? God isn't finished with us. You know, Philippians 1:11 is powerful. We know that God isn't surprised with what happens in the church or in life, in your life. God isn't surprised with that. He's compassionate, He's caring, He's loving. Just let go and let God. Father, we thank you for this special time here today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you're just saying to us, you're in the house.
Yeah.
Just like you were in 2 Chronicles, you came. And you ministered. And the priests could not even stand to minister. They were on their faces. God, help us to be in that place. It's all you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God bless you.